Hello and welcome to the Car Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick. I hope you're doing well. It's great to have you alongside us. And that's us on YouTube and on Podbean Live. And at the moment, I'm just waiting on my co-host, Andrew Marr. He should be appearing hopefully any second now. And we'll get things all sorted out. But today's big headline is, of course, the driver changes, which have been going on in Formula One, as we found out on Tuesday that Sebastian Vettel is to leave Ferrari at the end of the year, at the end of the 2020 season. And that, of course, has opened up a number of opportunities for other drivers. Now, we're yet to find out as to where Sebastian Vettel is going to drive in 2021, or whether he might just retire. But today, we managed to find out that Daniel Ricciardo is going to be going to McLaren, and Carlos Sainz has taken Vettel's seat to be the second driver at Ferrari. So, what do you think? Hello, and it's good to have you with us. And to all our viewers and listeners on Podbean and on YouTube, it's great to have you with us here tonight. What do you think of the main driver changes? It's quite something. I was slightly disappointed, to be fair. I thought that Ricciardo would probably be the better driver for Ferrari, because he is absolutely on it. He's challenged every driver, every competitor he's had in the team. He's tended to either beat or certainly do extremely well and push them very, very hard, whether it be Max Verstappen or Sebastian Vettel. I thought Ricciardo really took it to them. And I think, in my own opinion, I think Ricciardo is actually better than Leclerc. I do think that Leclerc is a very, very good driver, but he has made quite a lot of mistakes, and I'm not convinced that he is as good as what Ferrari might think he is. That so while I'm waiting here for Andrew to appear, and if you know where Andrew is, you need to give him a call or something, because at the moment I've sent him some messages, but I don't think he's seen them. Unless he's got technical issues, I'm sure he'll be joining us in the next little while. But what do you think of those driver changes? I have to say, I'm a little bit surprised that Carlos Sainz got it. I mean, I know he has been doing pretty well. Here we are. Here is Andrew. Hello there. Yes. I can hear your voice. Your sound's coming through very clearly. Maybe slightly out of time, but yes, there we are. Ant said he was going to contact you because he's been one of our most loyal viewers is already trying to sort things out. But here we are. We've just got started. I do like the background. Oh, that's sorry. No, that's fine. That's fine. That's no problem at all. But yes, so welcome. Here we are. We've got, it says I'm watching here on YouTube. So all our viewers and listeners on Podbean and on YouTube, welcome to the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. Now, I've already gone into the details as to what we're talking about, the big driver changes. It's a big kind of juicy steak of a headline to get into, isn't it? With Vettel leaving at the end of 2020 and Carlos Sainz getting in seat at Ferrari. What do you think, Andrew? There we go. There we are.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's going to be very interesting indeed. Right, can you hear me on Podbean now? That should be working.
Yep, I think it's all coming through. Yep.
Good. Yeah, I think that... I mean, McLaren's getting better all the time, so I think it's great Ricciardo's got somewhere that's improving as opposed to Renault, which was a bit naff. Uh-huh. And Sainz going to Ferrari, I mean, he's really proved himself. He was kind of... put to one side in a way, wasn't it? Even though it was good.
It was very good, incredibly consistent, and pushed Lando all the way. I was just saying before you joined us, I'm a little bit disappointed, though, because I actually thought that Ricardo is maybe slightly better in terms of the, you know, his experience already and the way that he does fight very hard. And I thought that Ricardo would have been maybe a better driver to fit Ferrari.
Possibly, but I think science has already got a... Has he got his own sort of kind of background with Ferrari? I'm not sure.
Possibly. Yeah. But because I just think that having Ricardo would push Leclerc massively. It would be a real threat. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I think the Saints could do that anyway, but I think it would be much more spectacular with Ricardo because he's not going to let anything go.
Because we haven't really seen what science can do. You know, British television didn't really focus on him last year, did it? It talked about Lando all the time. And science equaled or bettered him most of the time. You know, he did a really good job. So, in the right machinery, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe better.
Well, I think it'll be good. And you see, I'm not completely convinced about Leclerc. I mean, I think he's good. I think he's very good. But I'm just not entirely sure that he's as good as what they make out to be. I mean, I think, yes, he's got all that emotion and the character of his story and how he's, you know, evolved as a racing driver, you know, the tragedies that have beset him and his family, losing a lot of friends earlier on in Formula One, you know, like, and obviously losing his father and things like that, which were big things that has added a huge amount of emotion to his career. And I do think he's very, very good, but I'm not entirely sure he's as good as maybe some of the others that are out there. And that's why I think he could be taken by surprise by Saints, to be fair. Because, as you say, Saints just seems to get finished. You know, he seems to do really well and is totally ignored.
I mean, they gave Saints a lot of attention at the beginning, didn't they? There was lots of interviews. I went to see him and his dad at their... they've got a vineyard in Spain and all this kind of stuff. And it was great. But then he kind of like fell a bit by the wayside, almost like he was forgotten. I know what you mean about Leclerc. There was a lot of hype about him last year, and he was beating Vettel. You got to say he was faster than Vettel, as inexperienced as he was.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I've been really impressed with him in the virtual Grand Prix. But that's not quite the same, is it?
Yes, it's slightly different. Yeah.
He's obviously a fighter because of the way he's been fighting Max Verstappen and matching him, you know, matching him in a fight. Max is known for being a feisty racer. But like you said, Ricardo used to...
Give him a chance.
Ricardo used to be as fast or faster than Max too.
Yeah.
While everyone, it was so obvious that team had got behind. That's why Ricardo left, because the team had got right behind Max. And, you know, Ricardo knew that he was going to be second fiddle.
It's quite interesting. So the whole way it's working.
Two feisty drivers in one team like that would have been quite interesting. Maybe that's why they've done it. Maybe they think they can mould science. Maybe science is cheaper. There's all sorts of reasons why it could be science instead of Ricardo.
Now, have we heard, as far as I can see before, I hadn't heard who is going to replace Ricardo at Renault. I don't think they've made a decision about that. And they're either joking, saying, bring back Hülkenberg. Which he was, I actually thought he left a wee bit early, to be fair. There were potential, or will Vettel go to Renault? I mean, it's doable. It's an up-and-coming mid-range team. You just don't know.
I think Vettel will leave. If he can't be in the top team, he'll leave. He's not like Damon Hill or some of these,
or Mansell, the others who will go to any team to kind of try.
He's not going to go to an unproven team. He wants to win more championships. He's won four back-to-back championships in the fastest car by far, and he's got that hanging over him. He's a very how can I put it? We talk about Leclerc and being full of emotion. Vettel is driven by emotion. All the times he's done stupid things in the car. Over the years, you know,
it's when he's under pressure.
Taking his teammate when there were team orders, bashing into Hamilton It's when he, you know, it's almost like a road rage incident. You know, it in the car, it gets his dummy and he goes because when it gets to him, when it's something important, you know. So,
it's interesting, isn't it, as to what will happen.
He's got it hanging over him, this thing that he's only won in the fastest car. And then he goes to Ferrari, does very well when he had a teammate that couldn't match him. And then when he had a teammate that was as good, if not better, suddenly he's been shown up, shall we say, and he's made some real errors of judgment and done some stupid things.
Yeah.
If he can't go somewhere and fix that, he won't bother. He'll leave. He'll go do something else.
Yeah, I do wonder about that. I do wonder. We've got some another guest who is writing comments. It's one of our co-hosts who couldn't make it on screen tonight.
Hello, John. Hello.
Yeah, but Jonathan is writing in the comments. So good to see you all tonight. And he's saying that their friendship will last one lap between Leclerc and Sainz, because neither of them are natural number twos, and Ant has all said, yeah, give them half a lap, and then team orders will come to play and cheese somebody off in some way. So both used to getting their own way. I think exactly. It's certainly going to spice it up, because I think we've now got some very, very good talent right at the top teams, where I think it was struggling a bit. Because Vettel was very good at the end of last season, but he really was struggling at the early part of the season. And Leclerc was really beating him quite convincingly. So this is going to be interesting. Now we're going to have a very, you know, strong Ferrari, very strong McLaren, and of course Hamilton and Bottas. And similarly, Bottas has been relearning how to take some corners, like where he's been slower in certain like fast corners. He's been learning how to do it differently.
So is this Bottas 3.0, is it?
Yeah, but I want to know it's...
I've got a lot of time for Valtteri. I think he's a great driver. I was a bit of a fan of his when he was in Williams. He did very well. I don't think he's naturally on a par with Hamilton.
No.
But like I've said about other drivers like David Coulthard and others like that, he doesn't give up. He doesn't sort of sit back and go, oh, I'm rubbish. I'll just sit here then. And he's not an arse about it like Rosberg used to be. He's not sort of cheaty and dirty in his driving. Yeah. He just goes, right, what do I need to do to get faster? And I'll do it. And he does. So last year he came in, he altered his mindset a little bit, and he came in and he was quick straight off the mark, and then faded away towards the end of, you know, back end of the season. This year, again, he's thinking, what do I need to do to be quicker?
Yeah.
Whether it'll be enough to beat Hamilton, don't know.
Yeah,
but he needs to be able to beat the other drivers in the field. That's been his weakness, hasn't it? It should be a Mercedes 1-2 more often.
Yeah,
not,
yeah. He's got to be able to keep it up and make it happen.
Look at the points difference between. Okay, he was second in the championship, but he was way behind Hamilton.
Yeah,
and he should have been nearer, much much nearer for much longer.
Yeah. It's like Mansell in 92 with Patrese as his teammate. And although Patrese did well in places, it was nowhere near. It tended to be Mansell first, Senna second, and others. You know, it was always that kind of thing, wasn't it? It was never quite, Patrese didn't quite, mind you, that was towards the end of his career.
Yeah.
But Mansell won him, and he was nearly 40, I think it was, when he won the world title.
Yeah. This is the thing, you see, about, and I've said this to you before, we've had this kind of conversation before about Bottas and Hamilton, this kind of stuff. One of the strengths of the Mercedes team is they've got a loyal, quick driver who's not as quick as their number one driver.
Yeah.
That's what Schumacher did. Schumacher did this. I mean, he did it a bit more overtly. You know, he didn't hide it. He was number one. That's it. And if... I'm behind and they're faster than me on the day, I get the right to overtake them, and they get told they have to, which is what happened with Barrichello. Irvine was never fast enough to keep up with him, but Barrichello on occasion was, because he was a very fast driver. He was just inconsistent. Where Schumacher was always like a machine, wasn't he?
Yeah, any chance he had. And even in the Mercedes, that's
the
that one time when
you can't have any competition. So like last year, look what happened with Ferrari. How many... If all of the wins that they both had been on one driver, it would have been much closer championship. much closer. Hamilton's first season, all the points were split between him and Alonso. It's no good having, like Jonathan says, it's no good having two number one drivers. You can't do it. It's not.
Yeah, so yeah, it's going to be interesting because I think both Leclerc and Sainz are going to be absolutely going for it. And I just wonder, I think Sainz could actually come off better in the first year because Leclerc does make mistakes, does tend to have reliability issues or goes through tyres more quickly or other things. And I wonder with Sainz's reliability, and is, you know, he does seem to kind of get his car across the line.
Very consistent and fast.
Yeah, sure.
And he's good at overtaking. He is a complete package. He really is. I think he's a great driver. And he's a lovely lad.
Yeah.
He's just like, you know, it's kind of like a...
He doesn't come across as flamboyant or kind of overdone or overconfident in that way.
It's incredible when you consider he's been brought up by one of the most successful racing drivers in the world, his dad.
Yeah.
His dad's fast. His dad's... Yeah. Really
good. Multiple world champion, wasn't it?
He's a two-time world rally champion. He should have been a four-time world rally champion, though.
Yeah.
I know one of them would have been taken away from Colin McRae, but he was only just behind him in it.
Yeah.
He ran out of petrol about 100 yards away from the finish on another one, got so upset, he got out of the car and put his helmet through the rear windscreen. He wasn't happy. But... You could imagine a kid being brought up in that environment being a little bit full of themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and he has his ranch where they have a rally track, don't they? And they practice rallying on the ranch and that kind of thing.
And that's got to be an advantage for his driving because if you watch the race of champions, the ones that win the most often are the rally drivers because they're all-round drivers. They've got they've got a breadth of skill as well as a depth of talent. Look at Nelson Piquet Jr., who was he should never have been in Formula One.
He got in there with Renault, didn't he? Because he had ties in with Flavio Briatore and others, I think, wasn't it?
Ties in and with his dad. I mean, his dad set up a team for him and all this kind of stuff. And in Formula Three, to get through all the different championships, it's like all the criticisms people have been throwing at Lance Stroll, but the name's Piquet. So, you know, everything? I mean, it's like my video is lagging behind my audio.
Only very slightly. But I can hear you as you're speaking. So that's, I think it should hopefully
come
through.
It's really weird because it's just a little USB sound thing that I'm plugging my headphones into. So, weird.
But I think as far as we know, everyone can hear us. We're going out live on Podbean and on YouTube. And so far, nobody has said that you're out of sync or in terms of, or it's echoing or anything like that. So hopefully it's all good. Now, another interesting topic I saw today. Are you using a spotted sheet?
Mr. Jonathan said a couple of things. George Russell to Renault? I think he's waiting for the Mercedes team, John. That's my personal opinion. He's waiting to slip in either behind or in front of Bottas. I don't think I like him. It's not just the immense cheating that was going on this last weekend. I was looking at a lot of the comments on YouTube and on stuff about that race, about how that last corner seemed to be a straight line.
Yeah.
And it was for about half the race with him driving on it.
Yeah.
Didn't get a penalty.
I can see it now. The first time we ever get a chance to interview anyone big time, it'll be George Russell. And he'll be asking you, George Russell.
How's Spain? How's like that last corner? Steering broke, was it? Could you not? I don't know. I really liked his attitude last year when he was in interviews. He's very mature. Obviously, Williams are having all of their problems, which I'm not going to go into. And Jonathan, you can shut up. and I really liked that. And then I watched the Drive to Survive thing.
I had the
one on Williams, and he was in a meeting basically having a hissy fit because the car was crap. And I'm thinking, they're not deliberately building a car to go slow. Shut up. Yeah, whinging about it's not going to change anything. So to the camera, he was very good. And then behind the scenes, not realising there was a camera there, what's a good? And I just thought, something that bothers me about that.
Yeah.
It does.
I don't think he would have gotten a meet with that if it had been Haas. I think Rudolph, so Steiner would have fired
no, I'm about to agree with you. Right, I'd just like to say that I'm going to change my voice now because it's not me saying this. Oh, hello. Yes, well, if Frank Williams had been to say, being there, he wouldn't have done it either. There you go. That wasn't me saying that. That was somebody else.
Yeah, you kind of got the idea that Patrick Head and Frank Williams were not let much away.
Oh, Patrick. I love Patrick Head. Yeah, he just, you can just imagine him knocking someone out, can't you? Patrick Head, you can imagine him picking up by the throat and going, just shouting so bombastic. The word bombastic means the way Patrick Head is. That's what it means. You look it up in a dictionary. Patrick Head, example of bombastic. You know, he's the kind of guy, he'd have a bazooka. He's the sort of the Formula One equivalent of Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando. I don't know. I'll be back.
But this is the thing. Because all of these teams are very, very strict and they don't take any nonsense. And yet, in the mid-90s, you had McLaren, who at one point, you know, they had Ayrton Senna in 1993, who was on a kind of race-by-race contract. Then you had the famous American. Do you remember? It was Andretti.
We're talking about Mario Andretti's son.
Yes. He was poor thing, did not quite manage. And yet, that was a car when it had the McLaren that year had semi-automatic gearboxes, active ride, active suspension. It had the so it had the traction control because they were amazing cars that year. They had everything.
Oh, yeah, it's an amazing car. The car was great.
And you thought if it was the cars were easier to drive.
Marco Andretti, is that his name?
It was Michael Andretti.
Michael.
Yeah, Michael Andretti. Well, but, you know, so if anything, the cars would have been slightly easier to get more out of.
This is the whole thing about teams, isn't it? I can't think of another example where someone goes into a team and they just don't gel.
Yeah. But you could imagine Ron Dennis.
I was going to say. Ron Dennis was a nightmare. When ITV was... there was actually quite a funny period when ITV was doing F1. And their website had somebody very, very funny writing bits of it. They had him as a fake spy. And they used to call Ron Dennis Ron Ron. And in those days, they wore these green bomber jackets. And the articles used to paint McLaren as this gang, as this kind of biker gang, you know, with green mods, you know, green or skinhead, sorry, with Ron Dennis in charge. The thing about Ron Dennis is that he was the force behind the team, but he was also the biggest problem in it.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense? When it was all working right for him, everything had to be just so. But there was innovation wasn't allowed. They used a hot desk, where they swapped them. You haven't got an office. You weren't allowed to have anything on your desk because that was Ron's way of working. And, of course, that completely strangles all creativity. I can imagine that's one of the reasons why Adrian Newey left. Because he'd had enough of being strangled by Ron Dennis, you know?
Yeah.
Red Bull have a very different way of doing things. They have a lot more fun. I mean, look at DC. DC was so corporate for so many years, and then he goes to Red Bull, and he turns into Crazy Dave Coulthard. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and they do quite well. I think he did well in McLaren, but I think they had a bit more room in Red Bull to do what he wanted to do and to be himself.
Just a completely different ethos, yeah. They were the whole... It's a brand thing, isn't it? Because Red Bull's about having fun, so they're into sports and all that kind of stuff. So as a brand, they have to be seen to be more fun. But I think Christian Horner had a lot to do with that as well, and Adrian Newey.
Reading a thing. We've just recently been joined by my own Facebook page, by my profile page. So if anyone is watching from the Facebook page, we can't see your comments, and you'll need to go onto YouTube to be able to comment, which is always great because it's always good to get contributions from everyone. So if you're watching on the Facebook page on my profile, then if you want to comment, please do so. But you'll need to do it on YouTube, as then we'll actually see them.
Did you want to stop some of these comments? Look at that fella.
That.
Look at him.
Oh, yeah, Claude Littner should take over Williams. Claire would be making the tea. But, so, yeah.
I bet she'd beat you up. She'd come at you with something like a slipper.
She would ram you with the tea trolley.
Calvin and Hobbes. You ever read the Calvin and Hobbes strip cartoons? You got the three greatest sort of strip cartoons in the world. There's Peanuts, you know, Schultz, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
There's Larson with the Far Side, which is just hilarious.
Very, very good.
And there's Watterson with Calvin and Hobbes. Watterson's famous figure. He's a bit of a sort of a cartoon. Strip cartoon god in a way, because he refused to have anything to do with corporate stuff, and he wouldn't give interviews, and he just didn't want anything to do with that kind of stuff. So I'm doing this, buy it, read it, whatever, get lost a lot of you. So but Calvin's this little 6-year-old terror, his mum's pulling the hair out, and I can just imagine it would be Claire and Jonathan. She'd be chasing around, and Jonathan would be making her pull her hair out, and being annoying.
But what was quite interesting was there was another survey that was done, and they were saying who was the best driver ever in the history of Formula One. Now it's the 70th anniversary this year. In fact, it's yesterday. It was the 70th anniversary of Formula One, and or the first 70th anniversary of the first ever Grand Prix at Silverstone. Now they said people like Stirling,
which was
Moss,
won via what? I'll give you a clue.
Alfa Romeo. One in the background, that's right, your favourite car there. Now, they were saying, was it Fangio, was it Stirling Moss, was it Michael Schumacher, was it Ayrton Senna? I'm not sure they had Jim Clark, to be fair, on it. And I have to vote for Ayrton Senna out of that group. I thought Senna would get it, but he didn't. By 1%, guess who got the most votes so far?
Schumacher or Hamilton, was it?
No, Hamilton wasn't in it.
Okay.
But you were right, Schumacher.
Schumacher, yeah.
Schumacher got it with 27%, and Senna was on 26%. And I was quite surprised at that.
I'm not surprised at all, because the survey is going on now, and everyone has heard of Schumacher. But all the people that know Schumacher don't necessarily know Senna. That's the problem with these kind of votes. It's impossible to have a fair vote, because...
Yeah, it's over the generations.
You know, I didn't really see a lot of Senna driving. But I have seen a lot of, ridiculously, seen a lot of Fangio driving because of the footage that I've watched. You know, and it's what you know, isn't it? It's what you know. They had, the Formula One people had a stupid voting thing, because the way they did it ruined it. The most influential person in Formula One history. But the way they did it was like a knockout tournament for the World Cup. So they'd fiddled who was against who for each vote of, is it this person or that person? So it ended up being Schumacher with that as well, which is the idea that Michael Schumacher was more influential to the shape of Formula One than Colin Chapman, for example, is ridiculous. Yes. No driver has been as influential as the likes of Colin Chapman. I don't care who they are. Yeah. Because they might... Schumacher, and the thing is that I do agree that Schumacher changed the face of Formula One because of the way he approached it. He was incredibly professional. He was so hardworking. He was super fit. There was no one fitter than Schumacher when he was driving.
Yeah,
you know, he was the one that started all that. So, yeah, he did. And also this idea of building the team around him, taking them to Ferrari with him. He was the gel that held it all together. Yeah. Colin Chapman changed the way every car on the grid looked, drove. He changed. He brought sponsorship in, so he changed the money. Come on, it's just like Formula One was a different thing. Even Bernie Ecclestone has had a bigger effect on the actual sport than Schumacher, because he also completely changed the way Formula One operated and was put out to the public. He made it into the massive money-making machine it is today. So it was a stupid survey. I hate surveys like that. It's like the government asking questions, and it's all fixed, because they ask it in the right way so that you get the answer they want to hear. It's just rant over. Thank you very much.
That's fine.
Try the veal.
So who do you think currently then has got the biggest influence on Formula One
right now? I think that's an interesting one. Are we talking right this minute or last 10 years?
I've seen, since it's been taken over, I'm not massively impressed with the new American owners or just the whole. I know they're trying to do a job of trying to change things and do it, but obviously Bernie left it in a particular position, and it's a struggle. I mean, the whole car industry, everything that's related to that, is in a bit of a struggle. Obviously with the COVID stuff too, as Ant's been saying, so it is difficult. But I think it's just lacking. I think the big problem is they're wanting to get this new audience, but they've forgotten about their old one. And they've forgotten that the problems of changing engines and making it, it's okay, they are louder than they used to be for a bit, but it's lost a bit of the show. And until they get that back again, it's going to be quite difficult. I think they've lost a huge amount of
viewers.
To
be fair, though, don't forget those engines were brought in on the old regime. They are not...
Oh, yes, I mean, that was Bernie's. That was Bernie's. Although I remember when it came in, Bernie was quite... annoyed about it.
But it wasn't Bernie that brought them in, it was the FIA. It was not Max Mosley, it was old Jean, Monsieur Jean Todt.
Was it him that did it? Yeah. Right.
Well, I don't know whether the thing is you don't know what the history of it. I don't mean you don't, I mean we don't know what the history of it is. This is the kind of stuff that Max Mosley, because when the V8 hybrids, Max Mosley brought those in, didn't he?
Yeah, it came down from a V10 to a V8.
It was a start of something. Max Mosley was that kind of guy. He liked everything to be, he was all very...
moving with the times or the kind of idea of the green stuff.
I like the six-cylinder engines. I think six-cylinders are great. And, they used to have the old Honda in the McLaren was a 1.5 litre, or in the Williams was 1.5.
Well, it sounded amazing.
Turbo.
Yeah.
It's not the problem with the engine. And as we know, they're incredibly clever and so powerful, so efficient. Great. Love that. Absolutely fantastic. But like you say, they could do something with the noise. At least the technology in those engines is dribbling down into other stuff because they are astonishing. I was watching something the other day where I finally have had confirmation that Mercedes are using electrical turbo superchargers, which is what they've got in the F1 car, and it's kind of, that's a game changer. I mean, to answer your question, which was who's the most influential at the moment, I'm going to say one of two people. No, I'm not. I'm going to say Ross Brawn. I'm not going to say two. I was going to say...
I think that's a fair comment.
I was going to say Toto Wolff, because he's obviously very influential in his position, but I still hold to the fact the only reason he's in that position and could be anywhere near that position is because of Ross Brawn. Because Ross Brawn not only set the team up, it was Brawn, and then he set it up to be the dominant force it is today, and then Toto came in and has done a very, very good job. Dissing the job is done. He's done an excellent job of continuing that success on and running the team brilliantly. But he wouldn't have had that team to run. Does that make sense? But now, of course, Ross is in the position of running the game. And I think if anything, personally, I think if anything sensible's coming out, sensible's being done, it's probably from that guy. Because every interview I have ever seen or heard or read with that man, there's not a single thing that comes out of his mouth that's not brilliant. It's not sensible. It's not like,
making it happen, isn't it?
This is the point. It's like he was saying, before anyone would dare to listen to me, about how it's no good changing the rules every 10 minutes and then expecting the teams at the back to keep up with the teams at the front because they can't develop the cars. What you need is things to stay the same for a while. And then they catch up and get competition.
As our viewers are increasing, it'd be fantastic for all of you guys watching on YouTube and all of you guys who are watching on my Facebook page as well. Could you give us a like? That would be fantastic. And if you happen to go onto the YouTube page, could you click that like? And possibly even better for us would be, could you click the subscribe button? And then you'll never miss an issue, especially if you go to notifications and then hit all notifications. That would be brilliant. So if you haven't already done so, if you can subscribe and hit that like, that would be absolutely fantastic. And tell all your friends about the Car Sim and Race Driver Show where you get banter like no one else and information on Formula One like you'll never get anywhere else in the world.
And his friend. You mean. Yeah. So, Hugh, what do you think the racing with no crowd will be like? Do you think it'll make much difference? I've thought of that myself.
I wonder.
I'm
not entirely sure. I think it will be different. Yeah. I mean, now you do hear the crowds cheering because the cars are quieter. So that will be something. And they're not going to be exactly running onto the track at the end of the race when the winner has completed, the number of laps and is on a slowing down lap, where sometimes you used to get the people running onto the track after they've come into the pits, to come into Parc Fermé, and it was a bit of an atmosphere. But maybe we'll get that towards the end.
What's it going to do on the podium? It's like...
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
somebody mentioned an AI crowd. Somebody, some fella on something. Jonathan! And maybe not an AI crowd, but they got a pre-recorded yay sound. They'll have big speakers. And then you get this, switch it on, and you press the tape button. I wonder if they have to go around all the crowds from last year and mix in the different types of crowds with the odd boo in there to make it sound real,
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there won't be anybody there. So once they've actually finished the race and they go up onto the podium, but in a few years ago, there was the pit girls or, all that. They were all lined up along and then they walked up there and they would clap them along as they came in and so on. And then you'd have the room at the back, we used to hear what was going on and then eventually go out to the podium. So not even going to have that. So there'll basically be an engineer, probably the race control man, who comes in and tells them to go out when it's necessary.
We don't have any politicians to hand them out either. They'll have a robot. That's where the AI comes in. Robot.
Yeah, it's like a kind of on a bomb disposal, kind of, one of those robots that comes that
drop down on a cable. They can have them above and it goes.
Well, I think things are gradually getting better in certain places. So hopefully it all kind of works.
They can do it by CGI. They can instead of
insert a code in the back.
Lewis, pretend to grab something. It's in front of you, mate. To the left.
It'll be a bit like the Running Man when they used to engineer the crowds in the background to make it look as if the baddies had been killed. And, of course, they hadn't done that. So it's going to be interesting. And, of course, the first race isn't too far away. Early, I think it's the 3rd of July or 5th of July, I think, is the first date for the Austrian Grand Prix, which I think there's going to be two of them, and then potentially two British Grand Prix. So when they call it British One and then European.
Phillip Island. So, can they do MotoGP at Phillip Island? Why can't they do Formula One? Imagine doing a Formula One race. What track do they do? The Bathurst?
That's Australia.
Bathurst. I know it's Australia. Melbourne is in Australia. Hello.
I'm not sure where, to be fair.
That track. There's some amazing corners on that track.
What, Bathurst? Yeah, that is quite something.
So F1 race there. So you've got one at Melbourne, one at Bathurst.
That would be something. Not much runoff area up in the hills. But and lots of kind of crests and all the rest of it.
Hello, Monaco? The World of Champions in Canada?
Yeah.
Great. Runoff areas? You don't need those, apparently. Not if you've got a million-year-old track with lots of plastic surgery money there. I don't know.
I have to say, I can't wait. It seems like forever since we've last had the race. And I think it's going to be close. Now, Ant had asked, do you think they're going to make it? Are they going to go for it from the offset? Or are they going to just take it easy? And I think no racing driver is going to take it easy. I think overall, they probably want to. Maybe they've got a paid seat or something. I think they're going to go for it, because to them it's a race. They've got to do it. It will be weird for the drivers because there won't be that atmosphere. There's not, and the crowd must bring a huge amount to it. And if it's going to be in Austria at the Red Bull Ring, then normally they've got incredible crowds, with all supporting Max Verstappen.
So Austria, instead of there being the woo like that and the orange, what they'll have is they'll have.
Unless we get the marshals,
Heidi and her friends, the goats.
And maybe get the marshals to set off the flares, because they always set off the flares.
Billy Andrews singing. from the pit lane. It'd be like this tumbleweed thing, wouldn't it? I mean, oh, can you imagine if they go to Austin, Texas, and they'll just be like tumbleweed. And you'll hear someone shooting in the background with the piano going, ding, 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 ding. Little birdies.
But at least in the old days, you couldn't. I mean, you couldn't miss those cars when they were even coming out the pit lane, even when they were idling in the garages. You heard it. I always remember going to Spain to Jerez, and I said to my wife, for the first time she'd ever gone to see the testing, and literally we were about 2 miles away from the track, and you could already just hear this little zoom, you know, the kind of the sound in the background, and we had the windows open, and she heard something. And she said, "Oh, I said, don't worry, it's just bees, just very loud bees."
At Hockenheim, walking to the Ostkurve, and you must have been a mile, three quarters of a mile away, on the other side of in the middle of a forest. And you could tell when a McLaren Mercedes went past, because it was such a distinctive sound, but it was a proper, you knew. And I used to cycle in the vicinity of on the A512 between Luga Baruga and Ashby de la Zouche.
Oh, yeah.
And you could hear Donington Park. When racing was, you could hear it. I don't know how close that actually is. Luga Baruga.
That's the thing. I'm just checking comments there because we've got people commenting on Facebook, which is fantastic. And it comes through on my phone. But it doesn't come through on our comments section here, unfortunately. That's due to Facebook doing funny things with their algorithms and all the rest of it. But
Facebook,
it's great.
It's a funny thing.
It certainly is. But I'm going to be, now here's a bit of a plug. I'm going to be helping my good friend Josh Martin, who is taking part in the SRO Esports race this Sunday from 2:15. That's when the lights are out. And I'm going to be doing the moderating on the chat room because he's live streaming the whole program. So I very kindly asked me to help him. He's a brave man. It's Josh Martin inviting me to try and help him with all these things. But I wasn't going to say that, but you can say that.
I wasn't talking about him. I was just doing an Eric Morecambe impression. That's what I was doing.
So if you're about watching this tonight, and on Sunday afternoon at 2:15, we have one of the biggest esports races yet, which is the SRO Esports race. And you can see it, I think it's on Twitch. It may well be on YouTube as well. And it's going to have people like Josh Martin. I'm not sure about David Perel's in it, but there's a big list of major racing drivers and e-drivers who will be involved in that. And if you're watching Josh Martin's live stream, which I'll be doing the moderation for, then you can see if I'll be able to make it work. Hopefully it will all work, and the chat that will be on his channel will be absolutely fine and the way it should be. So there's some good stuff coming up this weekend. I think there's another race as well at 6:00 on Sunday. Because I know it was, we just came back from Spain, but they haven't done Silverstone, or did they do Silverstone the first time? I'm trying to remember if they did or not. No, they haven't done Silverstone yet, have they? Or Suzuka, or Monza. I'm surprised they haven't done Monza yet.
Didn't they do Suzuka at the beginning?
Did they do? I didn't think they have done yet. I'm sure our viewers will be able to tell us if they had.
The first one was Bahrain, wasn't it?
Yep, they did Bahrain, they did China, and they've done Brazil and Spain. And so I don't think they've done any others yet.
I've just got this image of a tunnel.
They did that other, there was another race as well that called Not the Grand Prix, or Not the Formula One race or something, wasn't it? GP. So, and they've done different ones. But yeah, I don't know if they've done Monza yet, because Monza would be crazy. But they're going to do damage at Monza, because otherwise it'll just be...
They're not going to do damage, Hugh. They've got footballers and they've got cheating F1 drivers. They're not going to do damage.
If it was the old days, they'd have the spare car. Remember, they used to run back and get the spare car.
The T-car?
Yeah, the T-car.
Which was fantastic. That was great. Because if it was set up for the number one driver, Schumacher, then and the other driver crashed, that is all set up for them. The pedal positions, everything was all wrong. So they had to go around, and they were severely disadvantaged. I don't know why they got rid of the T car park. It cost a huge amount of money.
It was costs, Well, at one point in 1992, McLaren brought five cars either to Brazil or to one of the races. They brought five cars, including the T car, to try and improve for lap times and for testing and everything else to compete with the Williams. And that was the thing, you know. And when, that was the other thing, when Senna beat Mansell in 92 at Monaco in that incredible race with his fractions of a finish, and then Senna got pole in Canada, and it was quite a thing. They all thought that McLaren had this big move forward in its competitive ability. And then, of course, Senna's car broke down in the Canada race, and so did Mansell's. So he never won in Canada. That was always saying he'd always tried to win in Canada, but he never managed to do it.
Yeah. It's, but they all did. That's the thing that's changed. Another thing that's changed immensely is the reliability of the cars we've got today. You don't see breakdowns. The odd one a year or something, maybe two.
It's not anywhere near as much.
One or two every race.
Oh, yeah, easily. Sometimes, look at that race in Monaco 96. There were like six finishers.
Five or six finishers,
incredible. Ant has said he's going to go onto the channel and add certain comments or try not to.
No, he's not going to.
He's not going to, or will he? But.
too upset. I was watching Avengers Age of Ultron last night, and there is a running gag through the film because Captain America just say, "Watch your language." Language, Timothy!
Aye. It's going to be interesting. So with only really about 6 weeks to go to the start of the Grand Prix season, whether there'll be crowds there or not, it looks like there won't be any for the first few races, or maybe even up until September, October time. I can't see the Italians not trying to get in Monza.
I mean, seriously, I just think that the world's about to end. You know, it's all... the only Grand Prix we'll have... There'll be like two Grand Prix. There'll be the beginning of the season and the Amazon drivers delivering the trophies.
Well, Ant would say the trophy will be in the post.
That's where I got the idea. Don't tell him, though, because
it'll be covered. They'll all be wearing gloves and a mask, and they'll come out with
Well, what they'll do here is they'll just dump it outside and hope for the best.
We've had that. They don't even dump it outside, just run away. That might be. So there we are. Well, we've done 45 minutes of the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show, and we want to keep things fresh. Now, we will be back, I'm sure, on Sunday to do commentary on a race. Whether it will be, we'll need to find out. They haven't advertised it yet on YouTube as to where it's going to be from. But it'll be a lonely cleaner waving a mop as the crowd. Yeah, that will be it, won't it?
You'd be able
to allow certain numbers in, or maybe like they could. Or I suppose they're going to test.
The only reason they've been allowed to go in is because they all get tested.
And
of course, what most people don't realise is if one person in a team tests positive, the whole team has to be swapped out. The whole team. They have to have two isolated teams of everybody. So that if one tests positive and they've all been together, because it's impossible to socially distance when you're working on a car, they've got to swap them all out for the other team, the other team for that team.
So
it's not quite as simple as people think. Oh, just do it.
No, isn't it?
It's not Boris running this show.
Do a quick comment here.
Where? Who?
You can't see.
Where's John gone? He's not said anything sarcastic to me for ages. In fact, to be fair, he's not said anything sarcastic at all yet, apart from that evil comment that he made earlier. Poor Claire. She's got cute teeth.
It should come up in a wee second, and you'll see exactly what has been happening. If you're watching on Facebook, we can't see your comments. It's a Facebook thing, right? You can comment on YouTube or like the show and subscribe.
So yes, do that. What he said? Just the liking and the subscribing of the show. Yes.
That would be fantastic. And we'll see it build up over the time. And that's been great. Well, stay on the line for a moment, Andrew. But to all our viewers and our listeners, whether it be on YouTube, Facebook, or Podbean, it's fantastic to have you with us. Remember to visit our Facebook page, and you can give us a like as well on that if you like on Facebook. And of course, subscribe to the channels and tell all your friends. But it's great to have you with us. Thank you very much for your support.
Love
it's
to very say kind. Hello and goodbye to Stevie.
All right, as he just literally
just
come
appeared.
On. We've sorry, just mate. Been going for 50 minutes, I'm afraid.
Rewind, and listen to it all. Some of it's very funny. Well, and informative. Very informative.
We've had a very good, a very good show, and it's all been about Vettel, Formula One, who's going to be driving for who, what we think of them. And I'll be putting
still
it out
expecting
the podcast
Vettel
tomorrow.
To go and play football on the moon. That's what he's going to be doing. He's joining NASA as a new challenge, and he's going to the moon.
Ah, well.
that was my opinion.
So for Grand Prix commentary and motoring banter like nowhere else, you've been listening to the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And we'll see you very soon. I'll leave it to Andrew to give our closing phrase.
Oh, me. Drive fast. Try not to crash.
Bye just now.